So, welcome to the first seminar of the University of Human Unity. I would just like to start with a few reflections. A few days ago when Vladimir and I sat down to propose a series of possible presentations, I mentioned that it seemed unfortunate that we didn't have someone like Dudu Dien who represents an international perspective. That experience and that degree of attunement with the global community, it seemed to me, in our sociology segment, would be a real asset. We were looking at the sociology segment because it happened to be the first one in the list for some reason, I suppose. Anyway, so Vladimir jumped to the conclusion that I should take that role at this meeting. It was very random. Quite impossible. So that's how I happen to be sitting here, having prepared an introductory presentation in the field of sociology. What we will be reflecting upon during the course of these seminars may be how we can become a living example of what Sri Aurobindo has envisioned in the ideal law of social development. We are an international society. We represent not only our respective social and cultural backgrounds, but we also represent educational efforts that are distinct, that are organized, that are different. We constitute a diverse international group of educators who have already been engaged in developing an approach to learning. And we're attempting now to launch an endeavor to create a platform for higher learning that would be free, that would manifest a high degree of freedom to learn, to explore, to discover, and also a high degree of unity of intention, unity in our aspiration and our goal to arrive at an integral, comprehensive, and universal understanding you'll remember where those terms come from, I suppose. And I think what would be especially unique about this endeavor, at least I hope that this would constitute one of its unique features, is that in creating this platform for higher learning and integral knowledge, we would not be presupposing a fixed body of knowledge that is to be offered to students. Because I think that if our intention is to discover something along the lines of the ideal law of social development and higher mind in the ascent towards supermind, we must realize that there is the possibility of discovering new knowledge. And in fact, it's a necessity. And so one of the unique features of this University of Human Unity would be its freedom to discover new knowledge, a new consciousness. This degree of freedom and unity that will enable us to discover and embody higher knowledge and methods of learning and an integral knowledge, I think would constitute our purpose. The purpose of this group in this endeavor. That discovery, that research, would also be a continual discovery of who we are. We are that freedom and that unity and that possibility of integral knowledge. The only knowledge that we have is knowledge of the self, our self, what we are. Even the external world, which goes from our chromosomes to the North Pole, is what we are. The integration of the silent, absolute, unmanifest, immobile self integrated with that vast threefold world of the physical, the vital, and the mental would be the scope of our knowledge, our understanding, our research. It would be an unlimited field of discovery. Therefore, we have proposed very tentatively a paradigm, an integral learning paradigm. which will evolve. But the idea there, the inspiration there is to open a field of discovery that would include all our faculties of learning and all that field which is to be understood that constitutes the self.
The evolving paradigm.
The evolving paradigm for integral learning that we have been exploring for some time is this paradigm of the unfolding self in its faculties, of mind and spirit and sight and hearing and speech and the physical body of self, world, knowledge. And this paradigm includes, it can include everything. It can constitute a way of beginning to understand that the social and the cultural and the theoretical and the creative consciousness and the material envelope are one continuous expression of the principles of existence. And so sight, for example, is embodied throughout all the structures of life. Seeing for us is a way of knowing all of that which we are. One of those things that we are is our cultural expression. All of the principles and structures that are based upon the principles of harmony and order can be known by us through a creative faculty of sound, sight, creative speech, and theoretical understanding. The idea of evolving an integral paradigm, I believe, is simply to search for an understanding that is, in fact, universal. It's a universal consciousness that we wish to discover in us and in the world, and to be resonant with, and to participate in a process of communicating about, creating within, and supporting the discovery of that integral self. There are people all over the world who are ready to do that, to enter into this process of research and discovery. The vision of the mother to create in the ashram an international university was a way of inviting humanity into this field of discovery. the transfer of that idea to Oroville and to the idea of the international zone was a way of inviting humanity into this field of discovery. But up to now, that has not manifested. That strategy for bringing humanity into this field of discovery in a very dynamic way as a laboratory of evolution has not materialized. And I find it interesting to notice that at the end of the ideal of human unity, Sri Aurobindo in fact does not hold out much hope for this humanity discovering that unity. He says, in fact, that the vital need and urge for the realization of unity doesn't exist. Humanity doesn't really need that, doesn't feel the need for that at that time of writing. There is not a vital need for the realization of its unity. And he also says that the spirit of the religion of humanity that would be a key for moving in the direction of unity also was not any longer a particularly strong living sentiment. The sentiment of the religion of humanity, which had been alive at an earlier time, he found to have waned. And what was especially missing, he said, was the spirit of brotherhood, of love and oneness. At the end of the ideal of human unity, he finds this lacking. But today, the situation has changed somewhat. One thing that he did not foresee, that he did not mention at all, except in terms of principles, general principles, was something that is becoming a global awareness of need, and that is the prospect in the next 25 years of human civilization undergoing quite a radical, catastrophic change because of the environment, because of what human beings are doing to the environment. And so this vital need for cooperation, for understanding and unity is now growing quite strong. And it has already led to numerous international global conferences and changes of laws and shifts in perspective just in the last few years regarding our physical self. And in the field of evolutionary biology, the idea of the extended phenotype is also quite living today in science, that we are not just these organisms. These organisms are the product of a vast field of interconnected co-evolutionary development that has been going on for 3 billion years. So there seems to be a need and a readiness today because of circumstances and because of what Sri Aurobindo clearly identified as the inner urge of nature to take a leap towards unity. If we can yoke our inner understanding and aspiration to create this platform for integral knowledge with that global need, then we have a possibility of really being an asset to the earth, really becoming a laboratory for evolution of consciousness, really inviting into this field a humanity that needs to discover its unity and needs to experience a convergence of will towards a next kind of society. And in the ascent towards supermind, that universalization of consciousness and that will to create from that consciousness is a necessary stage. It is where we have to go. And so we have that, this attempt that we're making seems to me to demonstrate that we feel that urge. It's not new. It was there with the creation of the International University Center. It was there with the vision of the International Zone. And it was there with Siru, this page, this old page from the Auroville website clearly expresses this inspiration. It's a spirit, it's a ghost, it's both a spirit and a ghost. And it is haunting us and it is also enlivening us. And so this opportunity that we have now to begin to explore diverse approaches to knowledge, because this the University of Human Unity is a path of knowledge, devotion and work, no doubt, but definitely it is an opening towards the possibility of new knowledge which can be effective in the world. If we can explore very systematically and dynamically through our various approaches ways to create this platform and open it to humanity and to support research and an active discovery that is necessary on the earth today, we can, on the basis of what Auroville has already become, grow into a university that offers and opens pathways to discovery that will be meaningful to us as we move along that path and to all of those who will come into it. So that's my invocation for the commencement of this first series of seminars. Yes, now it's completely open for discussion and ideas and plans.
One interesting thing which Grace was mentioning when she was browsing Google, the term human unit, she found a refused example. It's not at all used. Something complete, but then it's absolutely not needed. In that way, that is something that we're trying to do, something which is absolutely beyond anybody's conception. So this is something extra, something which is never, which was never understood, truly. It's an ideal of some vague and altruistic, super altruistic kind. You can see deeply what it means. Actually, we also don't see it here. We do not know what it means because it's a new creation in our experience. And the Lord wanted to experience Himself in unity and to never have it yet. Here we are.
However, this recognition of a need for a major shift in the way society functions and its consciousness is growing. And it is growing because of external circumstances. We know that it has an inner motive. But the inner motive by itself isn't enough. Because this is meant to be an outer expression. And throughout evolution, the development of the outer form has taken place in response to necessities, environing necessities and constraints. So, I've been teaching high school for the last few months. I'm sorry, I'm very much conditioned by the classroom environment. And one of the things you need to do in the classroom environment is constantly stimulate students with things that they didn't know about. So, I was planning to bring today a set of these to give to you, but I didn't manage because things weren't cooperating this morning. But an example, and it's in the sociological domain, is this research paper by a lady named Malini Mehra, who has an organization called Center for Social Markets. And she's a very outstanding lady, a very creative lady, and she's had a lot of involvement with the United Nations. This report was just published in August, and it's called Climate Change, Why India Needs to Take Leadership. And there is a section here in this report called What Would Leadership Look Like? I really would like everyone to read this, and I can make hard copies available, and we can post it on our website. And I believe this is a very important aspect of our work, which Grace has been working to make possible. We need to be able to understand the significance of studies like this. These people need to be able to understand the significance of our studies. In order for that to happen, we need to have a public face. And behind that face, there needs to be real, cogent, responsible energy. Let me just briefly tell you what she says here. It's an extremely well-searched, readable document, but the bottom line is that in the next 25 years, India will become the major emitter of greenhouse gases, whereas today it's the USA. If India, during the next 25 years, becomes that major emitter, then it will, in fact, tip the balance definitively towards global warming. If, on the other hand, it does what it alone perhaps can do at this stage, if it becomes a model of sustainability in the next 25 years, it will lead the world towards counterbalancing climate change. It is that important. What does it need to feel about itself? What kind of will does it need based upon what motives to take that role and become that leader? This is a question that we can help it answer. Evolutionary theory, as well as in Sri Aurobindo's view of spiritual evolution, there are always both the inner motives and the outer circumstances. And that is the secret. Not that they're different, but that they are unified, that they're the same. That's the real secret. But you can't discover that secret by dwelling on the outer. The integral knowledge has to be the discovery of that unity. And it has to not be theoretical anymore. It has to be an object of consciousness.
For that unity of transformation.
Yeah.
I don't know bottom-up approach will not make the transformation possible. That is also the idea with model, let's say.
Which we all know perfectly well.
So it gets in all these things, the same problem basically arises. You said to have some influence on this process, we need to present a public space or something like that, and then we set a shooting energy behind it. But before that, still, we have to understand ourselves how to do it. And I have always thought of these, that we have these series of lectures also. Maybe it's the same what you mean. But basically to start understanding how to live that unity internally. We have to present the outer faith also, and the ability to do that. But I think the real difficulty is getting that deep understanding of unity in yourself. I can understand a deep unity with some people at a time, but with other people I am immediately inclined to conflict. So how do I get out of that habit? And if you come with these big issues that that if Shobhino had foreseen that he would create a chaos for ourselves, well, he mentioned it for some cases, like in Kavita. But how to, this enormous tendency really at the moment to get into more motorbikes and to get first of all Rajasic energies alive, whether that can be over within 25 years, I don't know whether that can be prevented, and after 25 years, all the ice will be gone.
It doesn't need to be prevented.
No, can it?
It needs to be an opportunity for something else to emerge.
But you will be at a catastrophe by that time. This maybe doesn't matter.
I think
it's complex.
It seems to me what Rob is pointing out here is that our vision in this university should include very emphatically this environmental thing, as long as it has done. We won't be a hollow voice in the environment. We are manifesting what we've done because we're a big body of people with many people, with different emphases. We have, a whole lot of work that's been done on sustainability. So I think the point he's making is, and what I actually really welcome that, looking into to your window, say, in the human idea of human unity, that we have the freedom and almost the obligation that we have now to take the freedom to move and to improve the environment in our thoughts. At the same time, because it's a global issue, and what is also a global issue is the inner search for meaning. That all the highly intellectualized cultures are conscious that there's an emptiness in the materialistic lifestyle. And this isn't going to be fulfilled by traditional religion. And what we represent is search for genuine filling of that need. So there are these two needs that are vital. They're actually screaming size-wise. And I think
This seems to me to be also the rationale for the integral paradigm. We have to dwell on the psychological. We have to dwell on the spiritual. We also have to dwell on the sociological and the cultural and the environmental. The amount of the energy that is, the consciousness that is needed has to develop in all of these areas equally. This is the significance of Oroville. If we are speaking about creating a university of human unity in Oroville according to the mother's vision, then we must speak about and explore this integrality of change. And there's no doubt that you can tip one way or the other.
I just have the thought that by kind of focusing on the positive side of things, so the possibilities that are there in terms of, let's say, a sustainable ecological life in harmony with the environment, that it can be, you know, a much more satisfying, rewarding kind of life that's healthy and clean. And so to look at not just kind of preventing a catastrophe and focusing on eliminating this or that, but to focus on what are some of the possibilities that we can create in that field or in other areas in terms of education, what are the possibilities of a really integral, dynamic, deep spiritual education. How can we manifest that? How can we show that to the world? How can we create that among ourselves? Or in terms of a psychology, something that goes beyond laboratory experiments, but you know, the inner discovery of the deeper aspects of ourselves. In all different areas, we can look for that kind of ideal in that area to strive for and to try to create as best we can.
I have a question, or maybe a reflection. I'm just wondering if we set out, and I'm sorry if I haven't been part of the possibly ongoing process of defining the task or the mission of the federation of this group. I think it would be important if we consented as we are entering a series of seminars. What would be a projected outcome? What is the aim? On the end of the seminar session, a traditional university setting, you said you're working towards a decree. What would be the aim and the goal we are setting for ourselves? What are we offering ourselves into? I was very happy this last month in our village, as some people have read, there was this program on from the Global Eco Village Network, and quite almost spontaneously there was a syllabus put together for a 1 month course, and there were 15 people from possibly 7 countries participating in this course, and I found it amazing the incredibly, how to say, in the program approach. The participants had such a deep and wide experience of all the layers of the Aurobindo experience and the yoga in such a way that it was for most of them a very transforming life experience of just taking a 1 month program in Aurobindo. Now, it was beautiful to see how spontaneously and with how many people were pulled in to give lectures and programs and courses. For me, it was a delight to see that, how to say, the potential is there in our area. We just need a little bit of organization to pull it together. Now, I'm questioning the role of, let's say, to define what is the purpose of a university, what was the original purpose of it. And I think here, when you talk about the different faculties, one of our roles is that we ourselves find that integration between those different faculties. And that possibly then that would be one of the things we can share is that, how to say, integral understanding in ourselves and the approach, holistic approach to things. I remember in the early 70s in Vienna, there was an institute founded, it was an institute for harmonic sciences, which basically also came out of a Pythagorean school and it wanted to integrate the intuitive side of knowledge and the rational scientific website. And that institute, I mean, after so many years, they did lots of research, and basically worldwide people come to this institute because they know that they work concepts from biology in through philosophy and microbiology and astronomy and astrology, it's all the kinds of harmonics. And in one way, that institute has an international standing. People from CIS, and they know about that institute. And I'm just wondering, what does this body, or we, what would we have to offer? I see the possibility, as I know from experience, how that institute grew and how it was inspired, basically. And so for me, I realize it's not at this moment possible that we have to create, we're thinking of creating a syllabus for studies, because I'm aware, for instance, that Anand is doing the practice now. So I'm really deeply looking into the research of all what we bring, what can actually come out of it. And I see the possibility that we create kind of a self-conscious self-conscious entity of knowledge.
You have just stated the purpose of our seminars. We don't know what exactly we have to offer, but we want to discover that, and we also want to discover a way of offering it that is coherent. That's exactly the purpose of our undertaking this sharing. So you're here at the right time to participate in that discovery. So far it's not known what you're asking, but we know that we need to discover that and become that and know what we have to offer and have some idea of how to go about it. During the course of these presentations, we should explore exactly that question from all of our different points of view. And perhaps in the end we will know.
I think we are a little further than to say we absolutely don't know.
Yes.
No, it's like in the chaos. When you say you absolutely don't know, you don't get it. You say you know, you don't get it. We're somewhere in between, because our line is certainly in the line of trying to contact the higher consciousness and see how that can manifest how that can in the different fields and in ourselves. So I think that's the essence of what we are living in, given that Shogun Mahatma. But how it indeed has to work out in all these different fields that we are living in. Mm.
Maybe
it
depends
on the
ancient that we don't know that we don't know.
Well, perhaps we know that we can know. And then if we can know, then when we do know, what is it? And that what is really the thing.
As high as you can. I mean, that is, but if you don't dare to undertake that,
then I don't think you know which.
My feeling.
That is different from all the things that ran before and then.
My feeling is that we automatically start, as soon as we start to focus together, we start to contact that. That's really what I feel. And one of the techniques that Sri Aurobindo has recommended, which we might have thought was just a high school essay strategy, but in fact it's a very deep strategy for consciousness. He said that when you communicate something, make your mind silent, and then allow that consciousness to communicate. It communicates through the structure that you've already prepared, but you're not stuck anymore to the structure that you've prepared. And you're also not stuck to the words of Sri Aurobindo or anything else. It's all there already. And when we enter into an exploration and a communication, every time we've done that, I have felt that we begin to mediate and resonate with something else. If we continue to do that systematically, that is to say intentionally, I don't mean according to a system of rules, but according to an intention, if we continue to do this, to become open to that and to express it, to discover it, to search for it, we will move towards the higher consciousness. And it will move towards revealing itself in all of these different disciplines and levels. It will be a creative process that we cannot predetermine. Just by being on the platform, we begin to let it happen, to be its happening. I think we have to have the faith that that's true, because we've seen some indications of it repeatedly.
You had great indications when you started. You came with all kinds of proposals about mental exercises, physical exercises. But the thing that imposed itself was supposed to be silent. Yeah. It was a perfect example.
And I didn't read my my paper. But I did communicate what I wanted to communicate. And I've been practicing this all year long. Last year I made 45 presentations at Savitri Bhavan, and I never used notes. And I found out that I was discovering and learning through that process all the time. I don't know about anyone else, but but for me it was very interesting.
To just bring in my little experience, what happened to me last night, I was my oldest part of this meeting because you talk of silent mind or some kind of receptivity we need or openness which we experience sometimes. It happened to me last night in the middle of the night in my research just at the very end with the Veda. This word shrotra, which is hearing. And there was a footnote for something else. So I looked up that footnote. It was the opening hymn of the Atharva Veda Bhajan, the opening, the first hymn, and that hymn is to the Lord of speech. And there exactly the hymn is, of course, the hearing. And it opens like that. May the Lord of speech establish in us all the energy in the body, that means the form of manifestation, of the 3 times 7, which are the 3 seeds of Aditi, 3 times 7 seeds of Aditi, which appear all things. Meaning that they open a whole book with a hymn which is relating exactly to the highest thought. And they say, what you said, you know, there are energies and bodies. And they invoke it, they don't say what they are. This is why they really can, and you don't know, I have no time to translate this in the night. But there was just what struck me also in the middle of the hymn, it says, Lord of speech who are called, not who call us, call you up.
So when I enter into this speaking role, whether it's reading Savitri, which is already pre-created, or exploring something like the purpose of Uhu, I know enough about the Vedic system that I'm aware that it's always possible for our consciousness and our speech to grow in that awareness and expansion and connection, connectivity, to create connectivity of consciousness through the vehicle. And I think we all know enough about the Vedic system to know that it works like that. And we have this gift here from the mother of a proximity to the highest powers of consciousness, and we can mediate those. It's just what we're supposed to be doing. Beyond that, I would hope that we would come to such a degree of consistency in our readiness to be such instruments that as the university grows, as people come along, for example, like Martin, who is a Vedic doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, who aspires to connect with Auroville and enable students of Ayurveda to develop their knowledge of Ayurveda in this context so that they have another kind of grounding than what they get from the typical Ayurvedic university. As he begins to facilitate that process, we can experience that as an exfoliation and an increase in diversification of this which we represent. And the freedom has to be there, and the unity of intention has to be transmitted through us to that effort, which is enriched by us, and we are in turn enriched by it, and we make it a part of us, even though it's quite another stream than any of us can create. So, like that, I think that we can begin to grow many limbs that we nourish, and yet that are discoveries that we can't even imagine. Possibilities for discovery, pathways. And that's our sociological function. You know, that exfoliation, that support. Our psychological function is this one, to be that, to aspire to that, to connect with that as an intention in all of our endeavors. And our philosophical function is to know what this all means, to put everything in its appropriate place with respect to principles and integrated understanding.
As an example, the climate change and the pressure on India, and you said that actually it is not that the outer way and spiritual way, maybe, but actually it is maybe also a possibility how things are interdependent, because another word for integrality is also interdependence, and why we are not working together. So this would be also like in Hatha Yoga, we start with the body, the same climate change, the earth is complaining how we treat it in many different ways. So to take this as an issue, because it also belongs actually in the particular or unitary approach, any issue which comes from outside, like India now, and how to connect to it. And Mother also said that any outer thing is a very clumsy try to express something inside. So this also challenged what it means for us here. Because our will is also meant to be to change something inward, like a similar. So it could be also.
So shall we break?
Mm-hmm.
10:30, short 15-minute break.